when God decided to love you, he wasn't content to sort of love you at a distance. He wanted to get up close when that happened, which is why Christ took on human flesh.
Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But even after Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, God still wanted to dwell with you through the flesh and blood of his Son. He wanted to be physically present and in the room when he covered you in forgiveness and life and salvation. So that's why he's given his church the Lord's Supper, and that's why we should rejoice every time God comes into the room and invites us to feast on the same flesh and the same blood that won our salvation at Calvary.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the Lord's Supper at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. When we talk about the truths of the Christian faith, we're talking about truth in a twofold sense. One is the historical truth, because of course Christianity is an historical faith. It is based upon events that actually occurred, centering in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If those things didn't actually occur, Christianity is just nonsense. But there's another sense of that truth, and that is, even with those events as well-grounded and rooted in history, they actually occurred. The other part of Christian truth is that these things occurred for us, that Jesus died and rose again for us, for you. Those two aspects of Christian truth are absolutely vital. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to hear a teaching from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in the first hour, where he makes the case for the for you of Christianity. Then we'll have Dr. Alvin Schmidt answer the question, Western civilization, blessing or curse? Pastor Brian Wolfmiller spoke at the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He's author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed? Here he is making the case for the for you of Christianity.
I am for Molly's Meat Market, by the way. I think that is a great plan. I'm also for the Benedict option. That sounds really good. Although, I think we always want to remember that Jesus is ascended. That Jesus, for whatever reason, has us going through these days for his purpose. That everything that Jesus does is for you, and that includes all the ups and downs of these gray and latter days. I wonder sometimes why it is that Jesus has chosen us for the end of the world. I mean, why not better people? I mean, why not have reserved Luther and Chemnitz for these last days? But he has called us to them, and for a reason. He knows best. He knows best what's for us, what's best for our salvation, and so forth. And that's what we want to talk about now. Christ for you. Those words for you is what we're going to zero in on, and those words make the difference. For example, if someone says there's $1 million in the bank, you say, okay, probably thought there was more. But then they say, there's $1 million in the bank for you. Now that is an entirely different sentence, an entirely different proposition. I heard someone last night say, I've got a beer, and I was waiting for them to add the words, for you. I remember one time, this happened, it's embarrassing, but someone came in to my office, and I think I'd been talking in Bible study about a particular book that I was interested in, and they had the book, and they said, hey, Pastor, here, look, and I thought that they were giving it to me as a gift, and they were giving it to me to show me. And I said, oh, this is really wonderful. I've been wanting to read this book. Thank you so much. And they a little bit sheepishly said, Pastor, it's not for you. You can read it when I'm done. This is the, for you. So we always talk about this. It's not, when we talk about Christ, it's Christ for you. And the for you is what mean, it is what makes no difference between the gifts that the Lord has given and your own ears and your own heart and your own conscience and your own life. There's no gap. There's no space between Jesus and his mercy and his kindness and you. And you. Now, if that is true, if that's what the for you means, that there's no gap there, we know that always that's where the devil will attack, right? I mean, the ancient wisdom of the church will talk about the devil as a serpent, and one of the things about a serpent is it can get through small little holes. It can wedge its way in places where you never think it could get. And this is how the devil will get in and wedge his way in between the promise of the gospel, the for you of the gospel, and your own heart and your own conscience. So we want to fight back against that today. And I'd like to do it. I'd like to just suggest three assertions that we can consider. What the for you of the gospel means, because it is a bit of a Lutheran cliche, but we want to push past that a little bit. And so we'll consider these three things, and I don't know, you guys can tell me what order you want to go in. The gospel, the for you means this. The gospel is a surprise. The for you means this, that the gospel is a word. And the for you means this, that the gospel is a promise. Let's start with a surprise. We'll just go in that order. That's the way I wrote them down here, so. The gospel is a surprise. And this is because it's not just that Jesus is for you, it is also that Moses is for you. Moses stands preaching the law, and he intends for you to hear it. Now, we often, because of our sinful flesh, have become experts at kind of deflecting the preaching of the law. This is the fourth use of the law, and that is the pointy finger to point it out with everybody else, right? They are really bad out there. In fact, this is one of the marks of evangelical preaching, is that where are all the sinners? The sinners are all out there. And when we're gathered in here, we are the holy ones, the ones who are keeping God's law, the ones who are living according to his commandments. You guys know that most people who are not Christians think that what it means to be Christians is to live a good life. I've been doing some of these man on the street videos where you just go out and talk to people about and ask them the question, what do you, this is a great question. I didn't think of them. Luther did. What do you fear? What do you love? And what do you trust? To get at what's going on in people's consciences, what they're thinking about and what they're wondering about. What is it that you, and most of the time people, they give the same answer for what do you love and what do you trust. What do you love? My family. That's what you're supposed to say. That's what most people say. What do you trust? Mostly the answers I get are, I don't trust nobody. That might have to do with the street that I'm asking the interviews on, you know. What are you afraid of? Because half the people, when I ask, what do you fear? They say going back to jail. But it's that question, what do you fear, that starts to get in, it gets in and starts to define the conscience. It starts to shape what people really are. It starts to get at what people really understand. But it's this question, what do you trust in or what do you believe? And this allows you to sort of understand what people understand by religion. And most people think that what it means to be a Christian is just to try to live a good life. That's it. So that most people who are outside the Christian church think that we're in here talking about how awesome we are and how bad they are. That's what most people think happens on Sunday morning in Christian church. Now, that is, and it might happen in some churches, the fourth use of the law, the pointer finger, but Moses won't allow it. He will track you down. He is coming for you. Remember that it's a stunning sort of thing. In Exodus chapter 19, the one time that God spoke to the people, I mean, every time that God speaks, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, every time God either speaks to Moses or to Moses and Aaron. Maybe one or two times he spoke simply to Aaron directly, if I remember right, but almost it's through Moses or Aaron, except for once. There's one time when God spoke to all the people, Exodus chapter 19, and he stood there on the mountain, covered in cloud and covered in fire, and he spoke the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God, you will have no other. It said the people heard the sound of the angels and the thundering and the trumpets, and they were afraid and they trembled and they backed away from the mountain. And then they said, Moses, why don't you go talk to God? You go hear what God has to say. And the New Testament says, Hebrews says, the people were right to send up Moses because the voice of God is frightful. The law of God reveals his wrath. Your own sin is held up to you in the light of God's holiness by the preaching of the law. And God does not grade on a curve. You remember that joke that people used to say that when the guys were in the wilderness there in Africa, and there's a lion, and the guy starts putting on his shoes, and he says, why are you putting on your shoes? You can't outrun the lion. He says, I don't have to outrun the lion. I just have to outrun you. This is not how it is with the preaching of the law. You cannot outrun God's anger over your sin. So because you're a sinner, when God says, I've got something for you, our right response is, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Because what God should have for us is destruction. What God should have for you is anger. What God should have for you is hell itself. And it's true. We know that. But God comes to us and says something entirely different. I have something for you, and he gives to us, if you can believe it, he gives to us his beloved Son. For you. And we say, for me? I don't deserve that. I know. Here's Christ for you. Here's my Son on the cross for you. Here's my mercy and my kindness and my never-ending smile for you, for me. So the law comes to us not as a surprise, but the gospel comes to us always as a surprise, always unearned. Always unexpected. The for you of the gospel means that the gospel is a surprise.
We're listening to Pastor Brian Wolfmiller make the case for the for you of Christianity from the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Houston, Texas. He talks private confession and absolution next. Are you looking for a first communion, confirmation, or graduation gift? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is the new bonded leather cover edition of Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms, 1-800-325-3040.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller is making the case for the 4U of Christianity from the 2017 Houston Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Next, he takes up the subject of private confession and absolution.
Now, I think, by the way, this is one of the reasons why private confession and absolution is such an important practice for us to be engaged in and for us to recover. Because the devil, because the preaching of the law in one way or another resonates in our own conscience and it wants to alienate the gospel. So we hear that, for example, we hear the general absolution. The pastor stands there and says, I forgive you all your sins. And the devil comes along and he says, well, he's only saying that because he doesn't know what you did. The absolution, we say, oh, that's probably for these other people. I mean, they've probably been trying pretty hard, but boy, if that pastor knew, if anybody knew. So we go to the pastor, and this is how you should see confession, I think, is you're going to dare the pastor. Here, I'm going to tell you what I did, and I dare you to forgive that. You said I was forgiven on Sunday, but just wait. So we confess our sins. Pastor, this is what I've done. I can't believe it. It's just troubling me. It's stuck to my conscience. I can't help but feeling that this means that the death of Jesus is not for me. And then what happens? The pastor puts his hands on your head. There's no gap. There's no one else in the room. There's no other there's no other ears for the gospel to go into. So who is the promise for? It's for me. Do you see? The law wants the gospel always to be for somebody else, but the absolution and this preaching of the gospel means that it's for you. For me, you could say that next time your pastor forgives you. I forgive you all your sins. Me? Yes, you. There's nobody else here. You. Your sins are forgiven. I just don't know of any more comforting thing in my own life than the hands of the man who's speaking the absolution to be on my head, because there's no space for the devil to get in there. It's for me. So the for you of the gospel means that it's a surprise. Can you imagine, remember how the shepherds were in the field sitting outside of Bethlehem, and all of a sudden heaven opens up. Now here, I mean, it's got to be stunning. The hills of Bethlehem, they're full of all these caves, so that the shepherds, you know, normal shepherds in Israel would have to kind of take their flocks into the cities or into the pens or something, but there's all these caves all over the mountains, so they could kind of stay out in the wilderness all night, and there they are out in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden heaven opens up and the angel choirs sing, and then listen to the preaching, how it goes. This is Luke 2. Behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, can you imagine the shepherds? To me? This thing is for us? Yes. For them. And for you. I think one of the things that we might have lost in the church is the great astonishment that comes from hearing the fact that Christ has died for you. But it is true. And that surprise is our delight. Has American Christianity failed? The original title was The Surprise of the Gospel. You can put that, you can write it, scratch their title off, write that on the, don't tell it, the bookstore, don't wreck it until you buy it. So. But this is the thing that is that needs to be recovered among us, that the for you means that it is the Lord Jesus and his mercy that never ends, that is always astonishingly, surprisingly, undeservedly for sinners. Point one. Point two. The for you of the gospel means that the gospel is a word. I think we make a theological mistake quite often. I hear it like this, when I'll say, what is the gospel? And people will say, the gospel is Jesus. Or the gospel is the cross. Or the gospel is the death of Jesus on the cross. The gospel is the work of Christ to save us. Now, that's certainly not the opposite of the gospel, but that is not yet the gospel. We take all of these theological words that describe the death of Jesus, like expiation or propitiation or sacrifice or redemption or reconciliation, and we pile them up in one big heap and we say, that is the gospel. No, not yet. Remember how Luther says it in the Large Catechism, the third article. He said the death of Jesus would benefit us nothing. There would be no benefit at all if Jesus died and rose from the dead, if the Holy Spirit did not cause the word of that to be preached. Do you see? So the gospel is not the death of Jesus. The gospel is the word that announces the death of Jesus. The gospel is an announcement. It's a news story. That's what the word means. Good news. Euangelion. But it's not just any good news either. It's a very specific good news. It's the good news that the victory over sin, death, and the devil has been won by Jesus. Martin Luther, in this great, great theological work, if you guys have not read Against the Heavenly Prophets, just, you can go now and find a copy and start reading it. It's better than anything I'm going to say. It's just the best. Luther's, you have to read it. That's where he talks about, he's getting after Karlstadt, and he says, I don't care if he swallowed the Holy Spirit, feathers and all. We go to the Word, the Word, the Word. And in there, oh, it's great. It's Luther, and he's in rare form. But he makes this distinction, which is so helpful. He says we have to make a distinction between the way that the forgiveness of sins is won for us and the way that the forgiveness of sins is delivered to us. The winning of forgiveness and the delivery of forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins is won for us by the death of Jesus on the cross, but the forgiveness of sins is delivered to us in the Word. In the Word. Someone sent me a video of Billy Graham yesterday describing what repentance was, and he said, amongst the other things, he says, repentance means we go to the foot of the cross, and there we lay our lives down to Jesus. And I wish someone in the rally, there was 50,000 people there, someone would have raised their hand and said, where's the foot of the cross? How do you get to the foot of the cross? If you go to Jerusalem, into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus was resurrected into heaven, you climb under the altar, and there's a hole in the ground that's empty. It's as empty as the tomb. Now, probably, maybe if they had a cross at some point, it's not there, and it was collected in Wittenberg in the Castle Church. And you remember, like Luther says, if we gathered all the pieces of the cross together, we could build Noah's Ark. But the point is, it's not there. You can't get to the foot of the cross. There's no place to go. But this is the point. Jesus doesn't tell you to go to the foot of the cross. He doesn't tell you to go back in time. In fact, it doesn't even do you any good. Can you imagine? Here was a soldier underneath the foot of the cross, and he had the job of putting a spear in the side of our Lord, and out of the side of Jesus comes water and blood. These soldiers who crucified Jesus, who nailed the nails into his hands, would have been covered with the blood of Jesus. But were their sins forgiven? No. Because the way that Jesus wins forgiveness is different than the way he delivers forgiveness. And he delivers forgiveness in the word of the gospel, in the word that's preached to you, in the word bound up with the water, in the word bound up with his body and blood. The word is how Jesus gets his mercy to us. And this is a unique point that we have as Lutherans.
We're listening to the 2017 presentation by Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, making the case for the For You of Christianity from the 2017 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. If you love meaty theological topics, then be sure to attend the 2019 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. LCMS President Matt Harrison will be teaching about being joyfully Lutheran. The Lord's Supper will be Pastor Hans Feeney's topic. And LCMS Worship Director Will Whedon will be leading our conference hymn sing. While you're listening and participating, your children can partake of free conference childcare courtesy of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. The one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference is Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Next, with Pastor Wolf Miller and his presentation on the For You of Christianity, he's going to talk about Lutherans and their emphasis on the efficacy of God's Word. Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her Reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Are you planning your vacation in the Orlando area? Are you thinking about retiring in Central Florida? Are you looking for a faithful Lutheran church near the theme parks? Then Zion Lutheran Church and School is the place for you. We're in Winter Garden, Florida, about 20 minutes from all the attractions. At Zion Lutheran Church and School, we believe, teach, and confess God's truth for you. Find out more on our website, zionwg.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization, one student at a time.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
Well,
Welcome back. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed? We're playing his teaching from the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case of Jesus for You. Now he wants to take up the subject of Lutherans and their emphasis on the efficacy of God's Word.
We are, I think I can be this bold, the only confession that holds to the efficacy of the Word, the understanding that the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God to deliver to us the forgiveness of sins. Our friends, the Calvinists, don't have it. Calvin said we make a distinction between the two types of calling. There is the external calling and the internal calling. And the external calling goes out to all people. But the Holy Spirit works internally to confirm the word only in the elect. The evangelicals don't have it. They'll preach the gospel, the scriptures, the word, but then the response is what? If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging in your heart, then you have to come down and receive and accept Christ. What makes the word efficacious? An act of your own will. I always wonder what if we were in an altar call or a revivalistic service, and the preacher said, hey, Jesus died for your sins. Now, if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, then come and accept him as Lord. And you raise your hand and say, well, I believe it's true, but I don't feel anything. Can I come? What would they say? You guys try it. Let me know what they say. When we say that the word is true and powerful, that it converts the heart, that we are not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation, that faith comes through hearing and hearing by the word of God, we stand alone in this. And this for you, which means that the gospel is a word, is unique to our Lutheran confession, but it's not unique in the scriptures. I mean, this is the preaching of the scriptures. The second greatest promise of Christ in the books of Moses, the first being Genesis 3:15, the second is Deuteronomy 18, where the Lord promises, I will raise up a prophet like you from among the people for you. And Peter picks up on that for you preaching. In fact, all the sermons of Peter in the book of Acts, almost all of them quote that text and talk about how Christ is for you. Remember how it was when Peter preached on Pentecost and they said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the promise of be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, and this promise is for you. And for your children, and for all who are far off. That for you in the preaching goes all the way through the scripture. In fact, Peter picks up on it when he deals with Christian suffering in his first epistle. And he says this. This is great. Peter, the people are asking Peter, why are we suffering so much? And Peter's basic response to the question of suffering is this: Christ also suffered. Hey, how come there's suffering in the world? Christ also suffered. Hey, how come things are so bad? Christ also suffered. Six times he says it. Christ also suffered. And he says it like this in there. Christ also suffered for you. This Lutheran for you is bound up to our blessed and unique understanding that the means of grace, that is the tool of the Holy Spirit, is the word of God through which he delivers the victory of Jesus. So the for you means that you have Jesus. You have his blood. You have his mercy. You have his forgiveness. It's bound up to the word, and when you have the word, you have it. You know how the devil always wants us to doubt this, right? I mean, the devil always wants us to doubt that Jesus really loves us, that we're really going to be saved. But we have this absolute certainty to answer back to what the devil says in this understanding of the gospel. How do I know that I'm a Christian? Well, I heard the pastor say, your sins are forgiven. I heard Jesus say, I baptize you. I had the body and blood of Jesus in my mouth the other day, and Jesus promised that this is for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And he doesn't tell lies. so that our certainty is outside of us in the Word of God. So the gospel, remember, the for you means that the gospel is a word. And something a little bit more, this is the third point, but very closely related. The for you means that the gospel is not just a word, the gospel is a promise. The gospel is a promise. This has to do with Luther's discovery of the gospel. Remember that there's this, the two words of God that we have in the scriptures are the commands and the promises. The commands are the, that's the law. The promises, that's the gospel. But there's different ways that you keep them. You keep a command by doing it, by works. You keep a promise by believing it. So that if I were to give you guys all a command, you know, please put your hymnals on your heads or something like that, you guys wouldn't say to me, I believe you. Because I didn't give you something to believe, I gave you something to do. If, on the other hand, I gave you a promise, the Astros will win again next season, you wouldn't put your hymnals on your head. Maybe you would. But I didn't give you something to do, I gave you something to believe. Now, this fundamental distinction between the command and the promise and works and faith, Luther knows, I mean, Paul says it, if the salvation comes to us not by command but by promise, otherwise it would make the, or by faith, otherwise it would make the promise void. So promise and command are connected to one another. And this is how Luther first got his head around the gospel. Remember, he was pressing there on Romans 1, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And Luther says he didn't have a vision. No, the angel didn't come to him in the night. He didn't, you know, wander out in the wilderness or anything. He said, I paid attention to the words, and I noticed right next to that word righteousness was the word faith. And if there's a righteousness that's there by faith, that means that the righteousness is there by promise. That the righteousness of the gospel is not a command to do, but a promise to believe. This is how Luther talks about it in the Small Catechism. And we have to make sure that Dr. Dreher goes out home with a copy of the Small Catechism. Can we make sure of that? We can call it the Rule of St. Martin Luther. I think that's right, by the way. I think that's the right way to read the Catechism, is to understand it as a rule. I mean, we know of Luther's great critique of monasticism, right? I mean, Luther understood the vow of chastity to be breaking the sixth commandment, not keeping it. He understood the vow of poverty to be breaking the seventh commandment, not keeping it. But it doesn't mean that he didn't have anything to say about it. When he doesn't give us 7 hours of prayer so that, you know, we sleep with our clothes on so we can wake up in the middle of the night to pray. But he does give us prayers with the family when you wake up and when you go to bed, when you sit down with your family to eat. He puts it right there in the catechism, and we neglect it because we're always looking at the theological parts, the six chief parts. But it's a rule there for our families. It orders our lives according to the Lord's word, etc. But it's these famous words when Luther's talking about the sixth chief part, the sacrament of the holy altar, that the for you really comes out there. Jesus says, we have it in Luke and 1 Corinthians, this is my body given for you. And Luther says, those words for you require all hearts to believe. Now think about that just for a little bit. The words for you require all hearts to believe. That means the words for you are a promise. They are a guarantee. They are an assurance of what the Lord intends to give to us. The words for you mean that God is coming to you not to terrify you, but to give you gifts. The words for you mean that God is coming not with commands or with judgments, but with promises. The words for you mean that God expects you to expect from Him something true. That He is giving you something that is not to be doubted.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, when we come back, listening to his Making the Case of Jesus for You from the 2017 Making the Case Conference.
God decided to love you, he wasn't content to sort of love you at a distance. He wanted to get up close when that happened, which is why Christ took on human flesh.
Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But even after Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, God still wanted to dwell with you through the flesh and blood of his Son. He wanted to be physically present and in the room when he covered you in forgiveness and life and salvation. So that's why he's given his church the Lord's Supper, and that's why we should rejoice every time God comes into the room and invites us to feast on the same flesh and the same blood that won our salvation at Calvary.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the Lord's Supper at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Christians confess these words each week during the Divine Service. But have you ever wondered, who is the Holy Spirit? Join Curtis Giese, Jeffrey Oswald, Charles Geeshan, and others in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness as they consider the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Special highlights include a Bible study by Matt Richard and an original Pentecost hymn text by Mark Preuss. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're listening to Pastor Brian Wolfmiller from the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case of Jesus for you. Those words "for you" figure prominently in Luther's thoughts about the Lord's Supper in his small catechism when Jesus says, "This is my body given for you." Luther says, those words "for you" require all hearts to believe, and it becomes the center in a lot of ways of Luther's theology. You can get a heavy dose of Reformation theology in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Luther's Small and Large Catechisms from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. Pastor Wolfmiller takes us now to the Gospel of John, chapter 14.
And to consider this, I want to kind of push to the end here with a particular text, John chapter 14. Now, you guys know this text. You have Bibles hanging around somewhere there if you want to look at it. I had the great privilege of preaching the funeral service of St. Merle Canabar yesterday on this particular text that was also preached 15 years ago at his wife Rose's funeral. And so you know it from this sort of context. But I want to take a look at this text with the "for you" in mind. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." That, by the way, is maybe even enough to talk about. You know, we look around us and we are constantly and overwhelmingly tempted to have troubled hearts. We look at the future and our hearts are troubled. We look at the past and our hearts are troubled. We look at ourselves and our hearts are troubled. We look at our neighbors and our hearts are troubled. We look, every which way there is trouble to be had. But Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Why? Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Do you see it? Now, I don't know how you guys imagine this text or how these words strike you. I don't know if I should
if I should admit this or not, but always in my own mind, I get like a picture of like a heavenly remodeling show, like a home and garden television in the clouds kind of thing. Like we call that channel, by the way, the Ninth Commandment channel. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Today, we'll be going with France with a couple who's buying their third international home. They've set a limited budget of $14 million. Thinking about building a home on top of the Eiffel Tower. Like it's normal. Anyway. So Carrie doesn't like it when I call it the Ninth Commandment channel. So she calls the other channels, you know. If ever you're watching any time, it's like the daytime TV show would be the Sixth Commandment channel. Most of the murder mysteries at night is the Fifth Commandment channel. So I guess that, I don't know what, so when you go to the cooking channel, which is my favorite, it's tough. You just have to call it the gluttony channel, right? But there's not a precise commandment, which is how I sneak in there. But I have this picture. It's like Jesus is there, and it's like they have this big house, but they want to put on a new wing for all the people, you know. And Jesus is there making a space like this. But that is wrong. You guys are, well, of course it's wrong, you're saying. Okay, fine. Because the problem in heaven is not that there's not enough space. That's not the issue. It's not that there's not enough rooms. It's not that, it's not that you show up in heaven and Jesus is there and he's like, well, where are we going to put this guy, you know? Figured he'd go to purgatory. The problem with heaven is that it's full of God's holiness. And the problem with heaven is that God is there, and he's perfect, and you are not. The problem with finding a place for you and for me in eternal life is our sin. That's the problem. It should be that when we die, that we should get what we deserve, which is to be thrown into hell itself. To make a place for us in heaven, then, means that Jesus has to make a way for us to endure the eternal and consuming holiness of God. You know, there's a danger in our own day, and you guys have heard this all the time, where people will say that I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Have you heard that before? I'm spiritual, not religious. Now, I think that what they mean when they say that sort of thing is that I want a God who doesn't say anything. Because as soon as God talks, you have religion, you have doctrine, you have assertions, you have something that you have to believe in. And as long as God can be silent, I can get along with him just fine. As long as God never mentions, you know, the you shall not steal, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, honor your father and mother. As long as God never mentions those things, he and I will probably get along just fine. And this is what most people want who are spiritual but not religious. A God who is mute. A God whom they've cut the tongue out of so he can't say anything against their own life. But God will not be silenced. Remember Romans 3, the preaching of the law means that every mouth is shut before God. It's not God's mouth that's shut in the end. It's our own mouths, our own attempts at self-justification, our own attempts to stand before him that are closed up. God will speak. And when God speaks, he speaks his law, which condemns us. And that is the thing that should keep us out of heaven. If you could picture the Ten Commandments, you know, we talk about the pearly gates. Let's just talk about the stone tablets as gates to heaven itself, the Ten Commandments standing there. And you go to get to heaven and you look and there are the requirements. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And you have not done it. That's the problem to get you to heaven. So when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, He's not talking about going to heaven to build on an extra wing. He's not even talking about the ascension at all. When Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, he is saying, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to the cross for you. I'm going to God's wrath for you. I'm going to the forsakenness of God. Remember this? My God, why have you forsaken me? That Jesus is pushed away from God's presence. And Isaiah describes it even more explicit. It says, he was stricken by God and smitten. It's not even just the forsakenness of God, but the anger of God, the wrath of God that smote him. When Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, he's talking about his crucifixion. And in his crucifixion, he makes a place. He makes a way. He makes a room in the heart of God for you to dwell forever. In his crucifixion, he forgives you all your sins so that you too can stand before God without blemish. In his death and resurrection, he takes on all of your filth so that you can have all of his righteousness. And when it comes time to stand before him, the Ten Commandments will not condemn you, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you see it? Jesus, by his suffering and death, by his burial, and by his resurrection, has won all of this. And then he tells you about it. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. Dear friends, Jesus has told you. Jesus has my mouth and his word and your ears right here at this very moment so that he can tell you this. That he is not against you. He is for you. He does not have wrath for you. He has love for you. And your end is not death, but eternal life in the resurrection of the blessed. And this truth, this promise, is as sure as his death and resurrection, all of it, which is for you. This is the treasure of the gospel. When we say Christ for you, we are not speaking of some sort of cliche or empty phrase. We are talking about what it means to be a Christian. To know that the events of the death and resurrection of Jesus were not far away and to no import, but in fact that those things were precisely for us. For our children, and for all who are far off. So these words for you mean this. The gospel is a surprise. The gospel is a word, and the gospel is a promise. And God does not lie. Amen.
That's Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's presentation at the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case of Jesus for you. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be answering the question, Western civilization, blessing or curse? We'll get his answer after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.